So, lifelines.
Yeah. This is the one that I probably struggle to communicate the most. But it definitely resonates with the one that we did about blood massively, because it's everything is to in lifelines is to do with a shift in paradigm from the us and them thing. So it's about the physical, geopolitical, socioeconomic, any dividing line that you put between sentient things. Basically, that's what lifelines is about. And it's not saying that even that is the right way to look at it, but it's saying that right now, with where we are in history, we have to start breaking down these barriers, because otherwise we're not going to get anywhere.
So could this be interpreted as, because you were saying that between like a thing between sentient beings, so I immediately went to, in my head, to a couple of conversations we've been having in the Facebook group around veganism and
yeah,
how we connect with the animals, and that cognitive dissonance potentially about how I, from my perspective, I'm a meat eater.
Yeah.
I understand that, and I understand that some of these animals have a level of intelligence and care and everything else, but I still eat meat.
Yeah.
And I still have that level, whereas there's some of the people I've spoken about to who are vegan, it's because they understand that separation, as you say, that line between, there shouldn't, from their perspective, there shouldn't be a line between whether I eat people or whether I eat animals. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
because they're both sentient, they both feel pain and all the rest of that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
so immediately I thought of that.
Yeah,
that's an interesting, that's a rabbit hole to go down.
It really is. Yeah. Because I stopped eating meat quite recently. I still have a bit of fish, but I can't even repeat myself, but I've stopped eating meat. But the
is it fluffy bunny syndrome?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And the it is fluffy bunny syndrome. It is exactly that. Yeah. It's
if it's an animal in cute, whereas a fish doesn't seem that manner. So from that concept, would you eat insects still currently?
Yeah. No, I don't know why I eat fish.
Do you like the taste?
Yeah.
But then that's the same argument that's been levelled against myself.
Yeah.
For, well, why do you eat meat? Well, it's because I like it.
Yeah.
And I would, and this isn't saying eating meat is right, not eating meat is right. Either way, I'm the same with meat eating, veganism and everything else as I am with religion and everything. You're fine to believe whatever you want to believe. I'm quite happy to discuss things with you, but don't try and force your views on people and all that sort of stuff.
Is that not the point? And that's, I think, what Lifelines gets to, is that it's, you know, there's the conversation around, oh, anyone can be anything they want to be as long as they don't, like,
as long as it doesn't infringe on other people.
But that's nonsense, because it always will do. That's why you've got a left and right. That's why you've got a veganism or meat eater. That's why, you know what I mean?
But there's a difference between you and I sat here, you being an almost vegetarian.
Yeah.
And me being a meat eater,
yeah,
a fish eater and everything else, it doesn't infringe on you that I choose to do that. But if I try to then either forcibly or by deceit feed you meat because I think you should eat meat, then that is infringing on you and believing what you want to believe, trying to force my belief system onto you. Yeah. It's the same as having Christian camps or in the extremist camps or anything else, or as it used to be in the 50s or whatever it was, to pray the gay away, or however they used to term it.
It's still happening now, mate. Yeah.
But it's a forced infringement of viewpoints.
Yeah.
And not necessarily even the right viewpoints, because let's not get... Because we're going to end up talking about lots of debates about us and them and all the different things in this, I think. But one of the things, and this is why I don't get into talking about it a lot, I don't know, we want to do a podcast with some religious leaders to talk through the different thoughts of different religions, but one of the things for me is the people who quote the Bible and talk about things nowadays, to use that reference of pray the gay away and is there, is their interpretation of that book is different to the interpretation when it was first written, because Christianity was very different there. So where in the scale does it get to be that belief has evolved and changed? And so that's why I always think I have no right to push my belief system onto you. I do like the phrase of there's no Christian children, there's no Muslim children, there's no Jewish children, because there is there are children of those religious parents. It's when
that's
you get
a good
into
book,
the
that is, that God Delusion. That is a good book.
I've read some of it, if I'm honest. I haven't read all of it.
No, it is. It's good. Yeah.
But it's that thought system.
Yeah, it's fiery, but
we talk about, if we're going to talk about things that we do and different things like that. There's a big thing about female genital mutilation at the minute.
Yeah.
Yet we quite happily accept that that's done to young boys.
Yeah, with circumcision. Yeah.
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 It's still mutilation.
Yeah.
Why is there a difference?
Yeah.
Why is that the line between the two?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still ultra child's body.
It's these lines that are causing people to absolutely trigger crazy online, you know, and it's unbelievable. You look at a comments feed on like a BuzzFeed thing. I know it's clickbait and all that sort of stuff, and it's designed to do that. I get that, but it's totally. When you have a lifeline in place, and I don't mean a lifeline is in a saving somebody, I mean a lifeline is in these dividing boundaries, which is the kind of concept
these
of the
my,
song.
To use a Theresa May thing, these are my red lines.
Yeah.
You won't cross them.
Yeah. If we're talking about dividing lines, then you're going to polarise people. That's the whole point. That's like the most obvious thing is that if you have a dividing line between two people, then you've just polarized them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and it's that I can't remember the proper phrasing for it, but it's that piece where it's kind of entrenched values and entrenched beliefs. As soon as you start challenging somebody about something, rather than changing that person's mind, actually talking to them and challenging, it actually entrenches them more in their own mindset of they believe that they're right. It's why if you present somebody with facts that actually prove that what they say is incorrect, they'll double down, because that's the way we're set up to be.
And that lyrically, there's a huge amount of repetition lyrically in the song, and you know, I don't know what I want to know, but I know that I can breathe for the first time, I know that I can see for the first time. It's a matter of fact. I know I lack the implausible bond that comes from all knowing. It's like I know I don't get it, but I know what I know, and I know what I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know that's the general argument that you get from people that inflict us and them mentalities or polarizing kind of views or anything like that, is that they have this. You know, it's a matter of fact. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but here's my point, and I'm entitled to my opinion, and that's what I'm going to say. The whole, if you listen closely to the vocal, the way that I deliver it, and this is really sad, sorry, but it's really sardonic. It's really quite, it's almost sarcasm in the way that I'm singing the song, if you really kind of delve that deep into it. But it's like this character that stood in front on a podium. That's kind of what I always had in mind, is like, it's this just this ranty kind of ignorant, you know, sort of viewpoint.
It's very much the I don't know if people have seen this, but there's a cartoon that gets shared online where it's what appears to be a 6 or a 9 painted on the floor.
Yeah.
And there's a person on one side saying it's a 6 and a person on the other side saying it's a 9, and then there's some bit underneath that says about just remember other people's opinion matters as much as yours, blah 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 blah, and that's crossed out. And actually underneath it says, well, no, one of these people is wrong, because it is either a 6 or a 9. It can't be both.
Yeah.
So having an opinion is great, but having an opinion doesn't trump facts.
Actually,
is there something around that can add context to tell you whether that's a 6 or a 9, or is there something else you can work out? Because it isn't a 6 and a 9. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
So you can have your opinion, that's fine, but somewhere we've gone wrong in the last sort of 5-10 years where people have started to think, because they have an opinion, that's equal to
freedom
factual.
Of speech. Or freedom of expression.
You can still have freedom of speech, but having freedom of speech doesn't mean that just because you spout whatever you spout, whether it's right or wrong, and whether I agree with you or not, your opinion is not greater than a actual fact. So just because you say something does not make it a fact. Donald Trump does this a lot, and I know we've mentioned him on a couple of them now, but he will say something, and I think one of the things that's been pointed out in a couple of shows I've seen in the last week or so, was where he's talking about the jobs that are created by something. Originally it was 200,000, then it was 400,000, then it was 500,000, and then it was 1,000,000.
Mm.
It's the same thing.
Mm.
So how has that suddenly changed from there to there? There's an actual fact somewhere in there of what it is.
Yeah.
But then there's either his rhetoric or his opinion has started to
cloud it, or
exaggerate or whatever. But just because he says it doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
So I can say whatever I want to say. But sorry, that's my shoe screw. I can say whatever I want to say, but it doesn't make it true. I can say that we're recording this from Abbey Road.
Yeah.
We're not recording it from Abbey Road.
It's better than Abbey Road, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's lovely. But within that, I can have that belief, or it's a stupid example, but I can say that. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it factual. And I think that's where
this is why this has been called the post-truth here, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that you don't really necessarily have any idea what is truth, but it's good that we're starting to look at mainstream media and like question the validity of it. And the stuff that we're on the receiving end of, there's a lot of discussion around fake news, and is that fake news, or is it the real thing, or has it been kind of is it biased in any way? Is it kind of insight in some form of lifeline or hate speech, or that kind of thing?
I think that's the thing you've got at the moment. I think there's a lot of media, and it was evident 10, 15 years ago. It's always been evident, hasn't it? The newspapers are owned by somebody, and generally that's somebody who has a way that they want that paper to be run, even though it's supposed to be independent of them or whatever.
Yeah.
That's why the Rupert Murdoch Press, if he's aligned to New Labour as he was, were all about Tony Blair, and then he was aligned to David Cameron, they're all about David Cameron, and then he got a little shaky with David Cameron, so then it wasn't really about him, and then it's all about certain aspects. But you look at those, and I'm going to stray into controversial territory. Well, I'm already going to get stuff about various things I've talked about on here. But if you look at things like Jeremy Dyson, who was a big Brexit supporter, talked about how it's going to be great for British business, and then he's opening his factory in Malaysia.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you talk about, well, it's going to be great. But it's not great enough for me to put my money into it here, because I run a business, so I want to make money, so I'm not actually going to do that.
Mm.
And you look at all the people like, and this is going to show my bias on this, so I'm openly saying I'm biased on this, in that you've got people like Rees-Mogg and a few others who spout about how great Brexit's going to be and how much even a no deal is going to benefit the country. Mm. Yet then go and transfer a lot of their operations for their private funding stuff, the hedge funds that they run, to European bases to make their lives easier. And again, it's that thing of people who have the means will be okay. Those that are lower down, there's that us and them, in that, yes, listen to what we're saying, but you haven't got the means to do what we do to protect ourselves and insulate ourselves, so that it becomes an us and them, a lifeline between what we say and what we actually do.
Yeah. Bad, isn't it?
Well, it ties it back to that altruism of blood, is that to be truly altruistic, you can't have those lifelines separating things.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the way that sort of resonates and is related, definitely. But it's just about shifting your brain a bit.
It's hard. Even for... And this is me sitting here, obviously, doing the podcast and being involved in circularity for quite a while now, is it's still hard to change that mindset. We were talking on the last one about stopping and talking to homeless people. There are still those times where I walk past and I think afterwards, I should have stopped, should have talked to that person. But I'm either in my own headspace, or I'm thinking of something else, or I'm just thinking, I haven't got the either emotional capacity or whatever at the moment to do that sort of thing. But if I was truly altruistic, I would put that to one side and truly empathetic and try to do that. But it's still hard, even when you're trying to consciously think about those things and do those things and be better.
Yeah.
And now, just another conversation we've had before, is do you necessarily need to be better? And it's better than you were yesterday at being you, because if you start comparing yourself to others, you're never going to live up.
Yeah. But it's a frustrating song, lyrically and thematically. I mean, the song itself is incredible. Oh, I have got a story to tell about this song, actually, before I play it. There's a good story. At the end of the song, there's this moment where I do this big note that that's really high and it's quite nice. And then after that, it descends into this absolute shreddery, like proper dual guitar solo, you know, proper like edge of a cliff stuff. And that was never meant to be there. And one of the funniest parts of recording that song was at Giant Wafer in Wales, where we recorded that. And basically, like, Nick, who was producing the album, went off to cook a curry and left us with the engineer to, like, just basically do some tracks. So I'd just come out of a dad nap. And like the other guys were working on stuff, and I ended up coming downstairs and like running straight into the control room, saying, "Dan, give me that guitar." And I borrowed his Strat that he's got, and I went, "Plug me in, give me a big heavy sound like that." Literally, just like pull it in, just went, and I was such did this mad shred over that end of that section, and then gave the guitar to Dan and went, "Now you do one." And it was both of it was one take. There was no multiple takes. It was just like like that. And listen back, like naughty children, you know, like. And then they put on the tracks on Pro Tools, they put Do Not Unmute, and then muted it, and it ended up in the song. It was just one of those like daft things that we never thought would make it, and it was and every time I listen to that bit, it's just a big smile, because it's just what, yeah, you're not allowed to do guitar solos anymore like that, and we did two.
I don't know what I wanna know, but I know that I breathe for the first time. It's a matter of fact, I know I like the implausible bond that comes from nowhere. I believe in the future, the past and the present is chosen. And it's a matter of opinion that I still believe that there's time. I don't know what I wanna know, but I know that I can breathe for the first time. It's a matter of fact, I know I like the implausible bond that comes from nowhere. I can shift my composure, surrender my needs, now I'm older. There's a paradigm shifting that I can't foresee. Now it's time for us to get higher. I do not know if I believe it, but I will in time. Just as long as there's lifelines. I don't know what I wanna know, but I know that I'll breathe for the last time. It's a matter of fact, I know I lack the implausible bond that comes from nowhere. I commit to a lifestyle, a creed and a brand of submission. There's a paradox somewhere that I can't see. Now it's time for us to get higher. And I do not know if I can see it, but I will in time. Just as long as there's lifelines. so bright. Stoke the fire, burn it so bright. Just as long as there's life lines, just as long as there's life lines for.